This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
And you can head over to Bet Online right now. They're going to take care of you for all of your summer sports needs, whether or not that's baseball, golf. You can bet on your favorite golfers right there on Bet Online. Get all your wagering information from them as the NBA and the NHL head to the playoffs. You can make those smart moves to get more money in your pocket. And if you use the code BELIEVE, you'll get yourself a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts. Welcome to the Cool Down in episode 169. It's the grab bag here on Ref the District. Taking questions from people as they come in. We'll make sure to star them. And as we talk about them, as some of the more questions come in, we have a couple sandbagged already. I'm going to bring over some of the information that we did want to talk about in this era. The first one is the image we see here right now. Was the hiring of his title is ridiculous. Okay. So it's going to be the team's senior vice president of football initiatives, Dave Gardy or Jardy, possibly going to handle, according to Adam Schefter, the report is that Jardy will now handle assorted in-game management duties and will support the coaching staff and front office on a compliance with league protocols, officiating trends, health and safety guidelines. Trev, what do you make of this hire from Josh Harris here? This reportedly going to be in the booth with them with the headset on during game time situations, kind of being in here. What do you make of that?
Probably something that's been needed in this organization for a long time, and we might be shocked because we actually made that hire. I never knew there was such a thing in my life. This is the first time I've ever heard of that position. The person who we hired is the first time I've ever heard of him. So we're doing things the right way. Other organizations probably already have this in line or probably doing the same thing. But we around here just never even heard of it. Or if we did, it was a different title and a different duties, but hey, I'm all for it. We've been doing the right thing since Josh Harris took over the organization, so I feel like every hire that we get is nothing but the positive type of hire. So I'm supportive. He can be in the booth, he can be on the sideline, he could be in my house on my couch. I don't care, as long as he's going to help this team out, especially with the health and the health issues that we have. That's going to be sweet. So I'm for it.
I think I've done a little bit of research on the guy too. I mean, he was in the NFL offices for like the past 20 plus years, and everything that I've heard and read about him is that he is just a class act, number one male kind of dude, right? He is all that you want in your organization. And how he came to work for Josh Harris in Washington is surprising to a lot of people, on how he actually decided to leave the NFL offices, a cush job. I'm sure he was making plenty, but I've just heard nothing but great things about him. Whether or not it'll work out in terms of what he's doing is obviously still to be determined, but it's another piece of that puzzle to where they're doing things a little bit different, but they're, it's not just kind of let's go into work and let's sort of figure it out as we go along. This is a well-planned, intelligent operation that's going on right now. All that being said, you got to draft the right guy at number two if it's all going to work. So we'll see. He doesn't have any input on that, but man, it's just really cool to kind of see these hires that they're making. And you're just like, well, we've never had that position in this organization, but apparently we lacked it because a lot of people agreed that this is something that should be done. So I'm excited when I see these sorts of hires. They get me really fired up about the organization that we have in place.
So I, not to diminish this in any way, because I do think
it's interesting. Here we go.
Well, I'm just trying to shine some light, because we've gone through this before, right? When Adam Peters was hired, I just wanted to remind everybody we were very excited about Scott McLuhan, right? And this is
McLuhan is money.
Yeah, I butchered that guy's poor
name. I love when you butcher names because it's just fun. I did too. It's fun to goof on you too.
I don't want my calling card to be an ignoramus who can't pronounce people's names, because I feel like
that's a little
respectful. Jaguar, you guys. Yeah. Anyways, off track here. Not to diminish it, you know, but in the similar vein as that Adam Peters and the Scott notion here, is Washington under the former owner did lure somebody who was coveted and well respected from the office to kind of take over the books here in DC, and people were shocked and people thought it was a great hire and somebody who was turned things around. I can't remember the guy's name off the top of my head now.
You put it in the chat. La Famina.
Yeah.
Brian La Famina.
There we go. Yep. There we go, Gus. Thanks. Exactly. And this is what I wanted to bring up, is Brian La Famina. Is this feels this kind of very similar to that, where it's just like, yeah, this is supposed to be good, but is it going to work out? Now, full disclosure, I'm pro this move, and I feel it's different from before because the former guy's not here.
That's right.
And if we remember, Brian La Famina, he left. He was here for a year and was just like, nope, never mind.
I'm not working for this guy.
Not working, right? I feel like this is going to be different from that because of that kind of aspect, but I don't want us to get too excited thinking that what this is, you know, what we've heard a lot, which is seeking edges in a game of inches, right?
Yeah, I agree.
You know, a lot of what's been talked about with this is it's a salary cap league. So if you can't spend it on players, spend it on the infrastructure, spend it on ways that you can beat other people by, you know, doing something like that. And maybe it works out. But I don't want us to get our hopes up thinking that this is just a great thing.
Also, this hire, along with all the other ones we've made, makes you sit back and be like, and think like, man, people want to come work for Adam Peters, for Josh Harris, even though we haven't seen any lick of playing on the field at all this season, haven't even gotten to the draft. But to get all these well-regarded NFL executives, coaches, former whatevers to come here to a place like Washington that's had a dark cloud over the past 30 years. I know people said change can't happen in a year. Yes, it can. Josh Harris has come in and completely changed this entire organization. Adam Peters too, Dan Quinn. It just speaks volumes about the stature of the hires that we're making. And it's a really cool thing and a really nice thing to see. You know what I mean? So like you said, we don't know if it's going to work out or not, but we're given the opportunity to see.
Yeah. It's fair to be skeptical, Nathan. I sort of get it, but we have to kind of give him the benefit of the doubt, because again, what's his title again? Senior vice president of something that we never heard of.
Some initiative thing.
Yeah. It's not like he's replacing some guy who got fired from that job. This is a completely new position that if you're going to take a guy who's been working at the NFL offices for the past 20 plus years, you're going to have to pay him a ton of money, which is going to come out of Josh's pockets, or, you know, the team's pockets. Like you said, they're spending money where they can because they can't spend it on players because they have a limited amount. So they're creating positions. They're hiring people. Who is the lady that they hired on the staff? She's like director of staff,
yeah,
right? On the coaching staff.
Yeah.
Right. You never had a director of coaching staff. And I don't know how many other teams have it, but they're creating ways to do things, management type ways to do things that to me gets me pretty excited about this. It's fair to be skeptical. You got PTSD with the previous guy, and I totally get it. But these are the types of things that get me really excited. You know, Top Golf and hiring people for jobs we never heard of. And like Trev said, bringing people in that want to come here.
Mm-hmm.
And important positions and important people that want to come and work here. Important coaches that want to come and work here. And important free agents that want to come. This is a whole new thing. Whether or not it leads to the bottom line of winning, we'll have to wait and see. Right, Trev? I mean, you can change an organization in a year, but that's not necessarily going to result in wins and losses. And this is a bottom line business. It has to come down to wins and losses. And again, it's all going to come back to number two, what they do at quarterback.
Yeah.
And so, I'm seeing people asking in the chat, are other teams ran like this? Probably, but just ours hasn't been for the past 30 years.
It's new to us.
I think, new and flashy and shiny to us. And we're excited about it because for the longest time, we weren't operating like a normal NFL.
And I think it kind of goes back to the process Josh Harris had to pick Adam Peters and then to pick a coach. He brought in a variety of people, some people in the basketball world, right? And then some people in the football world,
right?
And they're trying to tackle what's the game of NFL from a different way because we haven't been successful for three decades, right? Nearly four decades. And so I do agree, and I am excited, but you know what, right now we're on a wait and see approach with it because I think most people are with Grimjaw here and didn't even know about the hire. What is this person even going to do? Right. What is he hired to do is the question.
We don't really know Grimjaw. Either. Not fully. And,
right. I mean, you heard the title. It was a bunch of blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Senior vice president of football initiatives or whatever. Right. We used to make up titles in the military too, because when you're writing a performance report, you can't just be a staff sergeant. You had to be in charge of something. So it's just you're the NCO in charge of garbly gook, because it will just make it sound like you're important, even if you're not. And I feel like some of this is happening here in Washington. What we know is this person's supposed to be on the headset during games. They've worked with the NFL rule book in some cases, you know, kind of made some of the changes and is a big part of that. So you have this feeling, and they're supposed to help out with game time situations, right? Yeah. So they're, you know, if it's time to challenge or if they're supposed to be like taking a timeout or watching those kind of things, that's where this person I think is supposed to come into play. So hopefully we start to see that, you know, working, you know, in there. Yeah, Locked On Law, absolutely, right? When you're the E6, you're in charge of the E5s. That's absolutely it. You got to have those titles and those things. Otherwise, you're no upward mobility when compared to your peers.
When there was a few years ago, 5 years ago maybe or so, when Bill Belichick knew of this, remember that weird rule that he took advantage of? It had something to do with kicking or calling,
wasn't it the eligibility rule? I thought,
I don't remember.
I want to say it was eligibility. I think that's why we ended up having to have players like go directly to a ref because he was able to game the system essentially,
right?
Of like changing right before the play because there was some obscure rule that he was able to abuse.
This is the guy who can take advantage of some of those things. And then somebody said earlier, you know, football is a game of inches. And this is one way that you can have a slight advantage. If you get that little sliver of an advantage on the team, then it could be the difference again between a win and a loss. So that's what I like about it. If he's the guy who basically wrote the rule book, I love it. I love everything about it.
So the other hire we wanted to get to before we get to some of the questions from our listeners tonight is if you follow AJ Perez, we had him on during the sale, and he had a article that went out that kind of details some of the things that are happening behind the scenes. One of those being that the Commanders hired Capitol Hill Insider, and that person's name is Kirtan Mehta. Previously the chief of staff for Senator John Hickenlooper, as the team looks love to kind of, what's that?
I said, I love Hickenlooper.
It's a fun name.
Great dude.
This kind of seems to me a hire that I think is kind of gone to the wayside when we're getting excited about a football initiative guy. This is the hire who, this is a person who's very familiar with how Congress is being run. As the bill, as the information goes through for DC to be able to control the area that is RFK Stadium, or in general, just having the Senate Committee on Energy and Natural Resources taking up RFK Stadium legislation in the next month, but even just being able to get in there and kind of work the system, I feel like this one might be the bigger hire, at least in the sense of, I get that maybe the football initiatives dude is going to help win some football games, but this one's potentially going to impact all of us by possibly getting a stadium back in DC.
I hope something like that eventually does happen, right? Because I would like to see the stadium back there.
That'd be nice. It's a positive step towards that direction, at least. I don't know how good it's really going to do. It's another wait and see hire, but yeah, it's a positive hire. You think it's bigger? You think it's bigger because of the stadium? You don't want to win now? You think the stadium is more important than winning now? I'm not saying you do. I'm just asking a question.
Oh, wow, that's putting a mouthful into me. No, I of course winning is more important, but I feel like I feel the advantage gained from, you know, Jardy being on a headset isn't going to be an impact that we see. Okay. Right. I don't feel like we're not going to see that interaction unless the camera's panned to him and they're saying he's doing like this motion, like you got to throw the flag type deal. Right. We're not going to see that happening. What we're going to see is, you know, Dan Quinn being smart about his challenges, or the timeouts being more efficiently used, or obscure rule maybe kind of coming to play. These are things that I don't think we're going to naturally pick up, and we might be like, well, maybe that was this guy, right? Whereas this particular hire, I feel, is going to be an impact that we can see. If RFK becomes a reality, then that's one that we're going to feel. That's one that we're going to see. That's one that's going to be a tangible thing in front of us.
Got you. Good answer.
And by the way, the Belichick thing that I was referring to was in 2019. He was taking intentional false start penalties at the end of the game, and it was making the clock run start from the beginning, right? So he would get a penalty, and then they would start the play clock over when they were up and they were trying to waste time. So then it would start the game clock, and the clock would run all the way down, and then he would take another false start penalty. So it's third down, and 90 seconds runs off the clock, and they haven't done anything. They haven't moved the ball at all. And he said, I was just taking advantage of a loophole in the rules. So that's the kind of thing that maybe this guy can do because he knows the rules so well. Anyway.
Oh, good old Bill Belichick.
Ooh.
With whom didn't Magic –
I was going to say, can we talk about
that real quick? Might as well, before we get to the questions that I have started. We got six that I have starred here.
I have one.
Okay. Stoner.
Mine is specifically for Trev.
Okay.
Trev, would you rather be the Wizards and be tanking and get a top five pick, or the Bulls, who are going to get knocked out in a play-in game tonight and be stuck in mediocrity like the Wizards used to?
I'll take the Bulls.
Bulls stink. Position. That was a setup question. Let's go, Nathan. Let's get to those
okay. Let's talk about the Magic thing you both were very excited about.
Rumor, pretty interesting.
Yeah, rumor has it, a report. I'm not sure who put it out there, where ESPN. It came from.
Yeah, the ESPN report.
It was an ESPN. Do you remember the reporter? Was that John Keim or was it one of the others?
It's ESPN.com, but I'll look it up real quick.
Yes, let's make sure we give them credit where credit's due. ESPN pushes out that Magic Johnson had pushed for Bill Belichick to come to town. Josh Harris didn't want it, had talked with Robert Kraft. Oh, that's right, because it was in the context of the Bill Belichick article. Bill Belichick, yes, without a job, looking for a second chance, wasn't even Atlanta's number three choice. Magic Johnson, though, wanted him here. Are you for Magic Johnson pushing those buttons to try to see, as a minority owner, if we can get Bill Belichick?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's a brand new era here. You might as well be. We were all preaching for us to be aggressive during the offseason this year, and Magic Johnson was doing just that. Atlanta really wanted him, but Arthur Blank didn't want him. So, and that the article leads on to more of other things between him and Robert Kraft. But yeah, that's cool that Magic Johnson, once again, something that was on the hush. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were saying, well, what's Magic gonna do? Like, he hasn't done anything since he's been in jail. Yes, he's been doing a lot of things, but behind the scenes, he's just not making it public. So that's cool. That shows that he wants to win, because he was documented on air at the press conference, whatever, said that he's about winning, and that's why he joined this place, because he knows Josh Harris wins and he's a winner himself, former Showtime Laker. So yeah, that's cool. If it would have worked, I'd be happy. Bill Belichick, I mean, that would have been cool. But yeah, I like the aggressiveness. I'm cool with it.
According to ESPN's Don Van Natta Jr., Seth Wickersham, and Jeremy Fowler, former Patriots head coach Belichick was very interested in the Washington opening. It was also reported that part owner Magic Johnson lobbied hard for Belichick to be the team's new head coach, but principal owner Josh Harris eventually superseded him and went in a different direction. So, and you know, I mean, those are top ESPN guys. Mm-hmm. Wickersham was all over the stuff that was going on with the cheerleaders and all that back when that happened. And Jeremy Fowler has been there, you know, forever. And Don Van Natta Jr. is a legal analyst kind of guy. So, yeah, those are legit reports.
Yeah, very interesting here. I'm glad Bill Belichick isn't here.
Oh, yes.
reports are that he's interested right now in the rest of the NFC East.
Yeah, all three teams except Washington now.
I would hate to be in those positions, not the fan positions, because they do have some good teams there. But could you imagine being Dabble or McCarthy, who are already on hot seats, or Sirianni, who his, you know, Doug Peterson got fired after winning a Super Bowl. You lost a Super Bowl. You have the owner coming down to you and saying, you got to fix this. And then having Bill Belichick breathing down your neck.
That
is going to be hellacious for each of those teams as they go through that. Trev's going to take care of some stuff. We'll see him when he returns here. So we'll move to a two box until the time comes here. As we get into the grab bag, questions here from there. And if you have more questions, make sure they get put into the chat, and Stoner and I will do our best to star them to get further. Let's get to Gus Bus from way back in the warm-up there. If Caleb Williams went back to USC, do you think Chicago still would have traded away Fields and then drafted Daniels number one overall?
100%. Absolutely. I think they would do that. They were never, ever sold on Justin Fields after this year. I mean, how long was he there? Was it three seasons he was there? And he just never kind of got over that hump. They were ready to go in a new direction. And if Caleb Williams wasn't there, Jaden Daniels would be there at number one for them. 100%.
Yeah, I think they were going to reset the QB market for themselves. I think that they kind of hit a wall. Jaden Daniels would be an interesting one, though, I think, because there are some similarities for who, you know, between the two, not, I'm not saying one for one type deal. So I wonder if they would have tried to go maybe a Drake May route rather than going with another running quarterback to kind of distance themselves from Jaden Daniels, or go Jaden Daniels route, because it did start to work there. Remember, Chicago has the 9th pick. That's their pick. So they started doing better towards the end of the season. So I do think that they would have moved on from Justin Fields, or maybe I guess the wild card there is Poles could have their GM could have traded away that number one pick to get more picks and just continue rolling the dice with Justin Fields. So good question there from Doug. Staying with the Jaden Daniels talks here, the man, the myth, the legend. Do you guys really think Jaden Daniels will be the pick, or is it all a smokescreen?
Well, I don't know what the smokescreen is, because there is nothing out there that says Jaden Daniels is the pick, other than just kind of people saying it because that's what they think. Not because nobody, and this needs to be totally understood, not one human being on the planet has said Washington told them that Jaden Daniels is their guy. So I don't know. So just kind of put that whole smoke screen, and maybe you're just trying to say, do you think Jaden Daniels will be the guy or not? I do think Jaden Daniels is the guy. And my whole reason for it, in terms of not what I think I want Washington to do, but what I think they will do, Dan Quinn has said on multiple occasions that as a defensive coordinator, he hated preparing for mobile quarterbacks, guys who can run, and he hated preparing for them. It was so hard. And so to have that guy on his team, that's what I think he wants.
I don't disagree that that's what DQ wants, because he's kind of talked about that, about how a guy like Jaden Daniels would strike fear in him as a defensive coordinator. And I don't know that any of that's smokescreen. And as far as the pick is concerned, I think everybody's starting to, again, the consensus is Jaden Daniels is starting to become more clearly the number two quarterback in this draft. And so I don't think that's a smokescreen. I feel like that's just where, you know, as more and more people are going through, as my hearing aid falls out, more and more people are kind of looking at things. They're just saying, Jaden Daniels, go number two, because I feel like that guy's the best quarterback not named Caleb Williams in this draft. But as Grimjaw says, hey, it's a smokescreen because Adam Peters doesn't have leaks. Bosky joining us tonight. Essentially, we have the number one overall pick. The Bears invited Caleb and Caleb only. Does the loaded visit show we're not sold on a QB? Yeah, I mean, they've got all of them there eating. And I don't know that it's done deal Jaden Daniels myself. I feel there is still a decision to be made, and these top 30 visits matter and stuff like that. So I don't think of it as a smokescreen. Mainly it's just, hey, Adam Peters keeps us all guessing just because he might not have a pick just yet. Trav, did you have any say in that one?
Yeah, I'm not completely sold on it being Jaden Daniels as well. That's all I want it to be, but it's a lot of Drake May ties, a lot of Drake May qualities that they like, and I think them hosting all four together is the final, not test, but the final whatever that's going to help make their decision for the draft. And I like it because it's on a more personal level. It's not like football related scheme watching or learning. It's just all personal. How do you interact? How do you get along? Do you sit back and watch, or do you take a step forward and lead? Do you know, are you quiet like Sam Howell, or are you rambunctious like, you know, Lamar Jackson? Like, you know what I mean? So I think it's good. I'm for it. I'm all for it.
I mean, what happens if somebody comes in and says, we'll give you, you know, pulls a Mike Ditka and says, we'll give you our entire draft plus next year's 1 and 3. If we can move up to number 2 and you can fall back to 10, for example, and you have to, if you decide that that's what you're going to do, then you better have full, complete homework done on a quarterback who you're going to take at number 10 at that
point. Right.
Or because a defensive tackle or an offensive tackle or whatever it is. You can't just sort of willy-nilly it and just say, well, I'm only going to talk to one or two quarterbacks who I think will be there at two and be done with it. You have to do your homework on everybody because you never know what sort of scenario is going to be put in front of you come draft day. I mean, Mike Ditka can call you, man. And you remember that? He did that for the Reds the one time. He said, I'll give you my entire draft because I want Ricky Williams. Mm-hmm. And by the way, let's not forget, I believe the next year it was a 1-3 for the following season.
Yeah, so it was a big, big haul. And what you could do with that pick, by the way, what you can do is you can then just trade back up, right? Go to four. Maybe you were okay with one of the three.
Absolutely.
But I think really what it comes down to is we talked about how difficult it is to take a QB from the college level and project them as an NFL starter. And so they have the tape and they've done some interviews and they have the numbers. They've seen Jaden Daniels' pressure to sack ratio. They know what that means and all of that, all of everything that goes with it. So they are continuing to do whatever work they can, whatever thing they can glean, right? Some of these things, the Topgolf, it's not a joke, right? You know, they want to see somebody who has competitive edge. One of the things that I think was great, I think it was Sam Fortier had an insight from Dan Quinn at the combine, remembered something from way back when, and it was how does a QB react to an interception, right? And Jaden Daniels charges like full throttle, throws himself in there. Drake May, JJ McCarthy, you know, they tend to kind of pursue, but then not take the risk of being hit. And how does that impact, right? And they're looking for that. They're looking for that competitive edge. They're looking for a guy who's able to take charge, be a leader of men. The thing that Stoner was beating a drum for when it came to a DQ hire, right? Mm-hmm. A leader of men. Mm-hmm. And so it is something that I think will be, you know, interesting.
Greg, who do you think was a better golf for you guys?
Drake May, I know, golfs. I think JJ McCarthy, as a hockey kid, as a competitive dude, probably has a pretty swing as well. Jaden Daniels, I don't have any information on whether or not he's got a consistent stroke. So
aren't most QBs just naturally good at golf for whatever reason?
I think if you're an athlete who's going to be drafted in the first round, the chances are that you're just pretty good at most things physical. Yeah. That's just
true. But have you ever seen basketball players throw out a first pitch? You know, they can't do it. They can't throw.
It's a different motion. Sure.
It's weird. It's weird like that. But yeah, when you think about the best players for golf, you know, football players, it's always quarterbacks. I mean, Mahomes and Josh Allen and
Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. Yeah.
All those guys are just
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. So I bet you Jaden Daniels and all those guys are really good at golf.
Continuing with the man, the myth, the legends question here. Do you guys prefer Jaden Daniels or Drake May? We did this last week, actually, and Jaden Daniels came out on top for 2/3 of the crew here. I suffer from some serious football, you know, traumatic syndromes. I'm not going to call it PTSD for out of respect of those who, you know, actually suffer from PTSD. Mine is all football related. And it has nothing to do with RG3. A lot of people, I feel like a lot of Washington fans are concerned about Jaden Daniels' size and him running and remembering, you know, Nagata snapping RG3's leg. That's not my worry. It's the Sam Howell concern of being back there and taking sacks and partially because the game of the NFL game is so much faster than college, so much faster than SEC. I know we talked throughout those Saban years, they could beat the worst NFL team. They can't. They cannot. And the game is so much faster at this level. And Jaden Daniels is going to go through growing pains. I still think that he has probably the second best shot at being offensive rookie of the year. There's a lot of exciting things around him, but his processing, I think, is going to take a hit in the first year, and we're going to see a lot more running because when he gets into trouble, his instinct is right now, put the ball down and run. He scrambles or takes a sack in nearly 50% of his dropbacks. And that's why I went Drake May, even though Drake May also has his concerns. So that's just me.
Can I give you a hot take that just fresh off the press?
Yeah, absolutely.
Florio has a nice hot take on why the Commanders brought in all four quarterback prospects at once.
Let's noted
Commanders hater or troll.
I was about to say Florio,
Probably not hater, but I'll say troll, Florio, Pro Football Talk. He says Josh Harris wanted to be now. He says it's his guess. Josh Harris wanted to be present for the visits and that they were lined up on a day when he was available. I wouldn't expect the Commanders to admit that, because to admit that would be to acknowledge that Harris has a significant voice on the final decision the Commanders make. Hot take Florio coming in off out of nowhere there.
Yeah, I don't even know if I want to comment on it. I feel like that's just a bunch of malarkey, and that's just Florio being Florio. And I don't even know, him and Peter King hated the Redskins, and he's somewhat lobbied against some of our Redskins greats to not be in the Hall of Fame. And this one, I just feel, I don't know. I don't feel like that's it. I feel like he's grasping at straws because nobody knows what's happening behind the scenes. And what I would say this, as far as something against this, is this is something San Francisco was doing. San Francisco would bring in a group of their top 30 visits, maybe not 20 something like Washington did here today and yesterday, but San Francisco would bring in a group. They want to see these players interact with each other. So yeah, good night. No thanks.
All right. I have one for you.
All right. We do have four more in the kicker here. And if anybody else has a question, make sure to put it in the chat and we'll get to it while we're here live. Nearly 300 people. So you want to make sure that you hit that like button if you haven't already during the channel. Stoner gets on me all the time because I do not push that enough during the lives.
Correct.
probably wants to do it now.
The question is, do you think today, if the draft, I don't want to say if the draft, do you think today that their mind has been made up on who they take at number two?
No.
You think they still don't know with 1 week before the draft, they still don't know who they're taking at number two?
I said no.
I think they'll know by Friday. I think this last visit is just the icing on the cake of the decision. It's kind of weird that, like I said, Michael Penix is there when they really haven't. He hasn't been. Well, it hasn't been reported that we have seen a lot of interest or shown a lot of interest in him. Mm-hmm. But I think they're about 80% sure. And I think this is going to equal the 20% that they need to get 100%. I really do.
All right. Yeah, I'm just wondering if anybody else. I think they do. I think these things are important. These interviews and the whole thing that they did at Topgolf, I think it's really important to the entire process, but I think they're probably 95% in one camp, and there's very little that's going to change their mind. I just don't think that as long as they've been together, when was Quinn hired? January?
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. Right? They've been together. They've watched the tapes. They've interviewed. They've gone to combines. They've talked to coaches. They've seen every throw that these quarterbacks have ever made in their life. They've talked to every person in their life. They've talked to them multiple times. So they've seen the medicals. And I think they're probably, you know, they're right there. They're 95% sure. And the only thing that could really flip it is if something comes up, maybe in a medical that they didn't see before, or
Drake May threw a golf club at the screen and just completely lost his cool.
Right. I mean, I think they know who they're going to take.
It is possible. I don't know that anybody really knows at this point, not even Vegas. In fact, if you're headed over to Bet Online, you can use the code BELEAV, B-L-E-A-V, to get yourself a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. But they are all over the map right now in Vegas. BetOnline is going to help you out with all of your wagering news, whether or not it's for the draft. J.J. McCarthy right now over under at 5.5, taken at the 5.5 pick right now is his over under. Jackson Powers Johnson, all that information, Joe Alt. You can check it all out. Not just that, NBA playoffs are underway. NHL action, the Caps. Stoner, we haven't even talked about your Caps. The Caps are in the playoffs, and you can bet on them if you want to continue riding the hot streak that is our Washington Capitals. You'll have all that information over at Bet Online. Just use that code BELIEVE, get that welcome bonus, and do yourself a favor. Bet Online, where the game starts. But nobody knows, Stoner. Nobody knows. Right.
Nobody knows. It's just my speculation. It's just my guess.
I just feel like if they knew, we probably wouldn't see all four. They would want to. I feel like if they knew, if they absolutely had an idea that what they were going to do at two, there was only one QB taken off the board, right. Caleb Williams. If they knew, they're not wasting a top 30 visit on all of them. Maybe they do just have Drake May and Jaden Daniels, but J.J. McCarthy, stay home. Michael Penix Jr., stay home. I get, Stoner, that what you're saying is, you know, somebody comes in, Minnesota comes in and offers you this year's firsts and next year's firsts and seconds to move up to two. And they take whoever they want to take. And you're like, fine, we'll play the dice and take whoever's available at 11 or maybe move back up. I get that you want to play, you know, you want to be smart about it, but you have other means to do that. Mm-hmm. You still have research. This to me was deliberate. They are still deciding. And maybe, Stoner, it comes down to Adam Peters has his guy. Maybe Dan Quinn is a Jaden Daniels guy. And then Cliff Kingsbury is just like, guys, you better take Drake May because my boy over in North Carolina says this. And, you know, I'm just saying that, you know, maybe someone had mentioned Pritchard, right? The QB coach is probably sitting there in somebody's ear saying, hey, I can coach this out of them. I can't coach this out of that person, right? Yeah. So I feel like there is more information going on. And Josh Harris also does want to be there. And he wants to see like, hey, I want to know how this all works out. So I don't feel like they have 100%. They're probably 60, 75% of the way. But yeah, there might be, Gregory. There might be too many cooks in the kitchen. Just maybe. Moving through the questions, this one's real quick here from Doug. Why do people put in Hoshfree and Daniels?
It's an
English
accident.
Is hard. All right, that's it. That's your answer. English is hard. I guarantee you, some people probably aren't aware that his name is Daniels and not Daniel, and so Daniels is just that extra apostrophe. But English is as hard. I can't pronounce people's names right. I'm not gonna get on people's grammar. As far as that's concerned, but a fun one there from Doug. The JG question, Kieran and Zinter, will they be ready to start game one 2024 if either becomes a Commander's pick?
I have no idea who Zinter is.
Oh, I love Zinter. Zinter's a guard from Michigan. And I think he broke his leg in the semifinal game, or maybe it was the Ohio State game. So it's really late in the season, but he is a stud. He's a guard.
Yeah, Zach Zinter.
Yeah, he is fantastic. I watched a lot of him. Kieran, I don't know much about, so I'm not sure. And the answer to that is I don't think the Zinter will be ready for game one. But you're not drafting him to be ready for game one either. You're drafting to be ready for year two through eight or whatever.
Karen is the offensive tackle from Yale.
Oh, okay.
Started the first four games at left tackle, but missed the end of the season due to a quad injury.
Yeah.
So that's who it is. And JG, I feel you about not typing in that last name because that's one I'm going to have to put into the research to learn how to say. But yeah, Karen, I feel like the quad injury is probably something that you can come back from quicker. But I mean, this is, you're talking about 300-pound linemen bumping over 300-pound linemen. And so I just don't know that it would be smart. I see here on NFL.com, Kieran's got a round three grade. So maybe if you take him late, but I mean, we listed our round three guys as depth piece or situational starter. Are we okay having a left tackle who is going to be year one on the bench?
No, I'm not okay with that.
No,
I'm not okay with that.
So Commandees has a different Kieran in mind. I'm interested to hear which Kieran that one is. So Commandees has a safety in mind for that one. Yeah, I feel like for either of those, one, if you're taking Zinter late, and I didn't see his draft profile, so I'd have to pick that up to see when he's being mocked. But I mean, I probably wouldn't be spending a top 100 pick on somebody who's not really ready to play now, unless you really feel like Kieran is, and JG confirms that it was the offensive tackle from Yale that we're talking about here. Unless you're convinced that he's going to be your left tackle, that he's just injured and, you know, he is the guy, then I probably wouldn't do that. Ah, my God, G is how Locked On Law says this. I'm a God, G.
Nice.
All right. So that is, that's that question there. Deluxe, wasn't Washington talking to Darnold prior to Mariota? Is the backup QB really an indication? A lot of people have pointed at the signing of Mariota as a sign that they're leaning towards Jaden Daniels. Is that really an indicator, or is the fact that they were looking at Sam Darnold something to figure into this as well?
For me personally, I kind of take it in a little bit of a different way, not in terms of style of play. I don't think it's an indicator. The one I think that's an indicator is whether it's Mariota or Darnold, these are not starting quarterback caliber players. So they need a guy who can come in on day one and play, whether that's Daniels or Drake May. So they're not going to, I've heard right from the man's mouth, I don't remember if it was Quinn or Peters, but I heard it right from them. They said they wouldn't mind, or it's not a big deal if their quarterback has to sit a little bit.
Yeah, Adam Peters said it. Yeah,
Peters said that, right? I don't buy that. I don't buy that they're going to go out week one. Let's just say week one. We don't know the schedule. Let's say week one is at home, and it's against Philly. And we've got this Jaden Daniels, for example. Jaden Daniels is our quarterback, and the offseason and Dan Quinn and training camp was electric, and there were 10,000 fans there every day, and we got game one at home at Commander's Field and everything, and we're going to march out Marcus Mariota? Not happening. It's just not going to happen.
No, dude. It ain't happening.
It's an indicator that they didn't sign a guy like Jacoby who can manage an NFL game.
A bridge quarterback. Yeah.
Yes. Right.
So that's the indicator that the way I look at it. is that they got a guy who is 100% a backup quarterback, and that whoever they draft is going to start week one. I don't think it's an indicator of style of quarterback. I just think it's an indicator of that they're going to start their rookie day one.
I think it's a bit of an indicator that who can mentor our number two pick. You know what I mean? Who was a better mentor for that? And I believe Mariota fits that bill. Reason why is because his college success, you know, Heisman Trophy winner, he put Oregon on the map really with that spread offense or whatever and the running mobility. He came in and did some nice things. He's a winning starting quarterback. Not like blow your socks off, but he has won in the NFL as a starting quarterback, and he's shown he can win games as a backup as well. Sam Darnold really hasn't shown us anything, which is kind of the reason why he is considered a backup as after being, you know, a high draft pick.
Yeah,
he was in San Francisco. Yeah, he was in. I mean, he was great at USC. Of course, that's the reason why he was picked so high. But ever since he got in the league, he's had chances to be a starting quarterback. He's been benched or hurt, or benched because he's hurt, or benched because of bad play. He's like an older version of Zach Wilson, if you think about it. So I just figure, like, they went to Sam Darnold because he was in San Francisco last year with Adam Peters. Maybe that's a little connection. But then they went, and after that realized, you know, he's not really going to help our number two guy as much as I think Mariota will. So
I think, actually, it probably came down to – because, like you said, Adam Peters went after Sam Darnold. There's probably some recency bias there. There's also some scouting and wanting Sam Darnold here. Sam Darnold chose somewhere else. Now, money probably was the biggest factor, and Stoner always says money talks, and money is going to be the biggest factor over most things. But I have to wonder if it was also the conversation that, like what you're saying, Stoner, it's this is a they're not being sincere when they say Mariota could start and the QB that they take will sit, right? They talked with Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold understood, I'm coming in here as a backup if I go to Washington, and I don't think he was okay with that. Mm. Where he Mariota ended up at Minnesota, where they're picking lower, right? Mm. Where they might not get a top four QB, right? That he has a chance to start there, and that QB can sit a la Jordan Love, a la Aaron Rodgers, right? And do that in Minnesota, where he wasn't going to be here. Plus the offense, the having more of a Shanahan offense, I think played a factor with Sam Darnold going elsewhere. But they're looking for a backup QB. They're not looking for a bridge QB.
Do you think that this kind of piggybacks off of that? This is kind of another question that do you think that, or do you, would you be okay with them drafting a quarterback with the idea that they're not ready? Would you be okay, basically? Let's just say they believe Drake May has a higher ceiling, but they don't think he'll be ready for the first month or two.
Nah,
would you okay with them trotting out Marcus Mariota, Mariota for the first 2 months?
This is a family show. Do you have the beep button ready? If not, I can do it myself.
I want to make sure I have the beep button here. Okay, I gotcha.
No. What I would not be okay with that. It's the number two pick.
Yeah.
If that's the case, why are you even drafting the quarterback if you don't even want to use them?
Go. But get you believe Marvin he Harrison has a higher Jr. ceiling. Then.
You know what I mean?
But you believe he has a higher ceiling, that he can be better in the long run.
That's great. Now, what if we do that and he's not? Now we just wasted a number two pick with a Michael Penix Jr. when we have Marvin Harrison Jr. that could help us win now, because drafting Penix to win later at number two, I'm not cool with that. If that's the case, then you might as well just pick somebody else and then hope to pray that Michael Penix Jr. is down there in the second or third round or whatever other pick you have. I would not be okay with that. Not at number two, man. That's ridiculous. No way.
I do feel like you have to try to trot him out here, and I'm not going to go as far as Grimjaw here. Drake May could get a condensed playbook to get him going. It's not that hard. Playing QB is hard in the NFL. Playing QB is really, really, it's not easy. If it were easy, there would be better than 15 quarterbacks that can actually play at a high level, right? Mm-hmm. But most teams are looking for the next QB or trying to position themselves that when they get a QB who can play, can do it. But I do feel like there are ways to set up a rookie QB for success and having them start early. And I feel like Washington's doing a lot of that right now. They went out and they got Austin Eckler, and they have a Brian Johnson and an Anthony Lynn as a run game coordinator, right? It seems like what they're going to do is set it up that the QB in question, whoever they take at two, or Mariota, if things don't work out quite as well, as they don't want to rely on the QB position this year. You know, that if they get something from the QB position this year, it's a bonus. But I would expect a Michigan style playbook going out the gate where we're running the ball 30 times a game and only dropping back 25 to 30 times a game.
Yeah.
The JJ McCarthy playbook. Maybe that could be a sign as well where they're going to go there. But I do think that that's what's going to happen and why we should expect to see the rookie QB out there, unless things go really far south on that rookie QB. So moving along through these questions here, Grimjaw had a question for us. Is Jeremiah Trotter Jr. a good heir apparent target at linebacker in the draft?
Yeah. Why not? He's pretty good. He did some good things at Clemson. His dad was a successful NFL player. I think he played for us for a little bit too, didn't he? Did he not?
We had Trotter here for a while.
Did he?
Yeah. Yep. He was here
for one year, I want to say.
Yeah. Yeah, why not? I mean, yeah. I don't know where you would get him. I don't want to get him at 36 or 40 even. Now, if he's there at 40, we got who we wanted at 36 or 36. Okay. But, yeah, I mean, he's not somebody that I would trade up for to go get or make some moves to go get. I would, no disrespect to him, but you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he's a good.
What's his average draft position is what I want to look up. By the way, Jeremiah Trotter Sr. played for Washington 2002 to 2003.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, Trotter, he's basically a day two, possibly even a day three pick. That's kind of where he's at. So if you can grab him, you know, with your third rounder, that's a position of need because Bobby Wagner's not going to be here forever. Jamin Davis is in the last year of his contract, so you definitely need linebacker. Yeah. I mean, he's a guy I wouldn't hate, but I think that is probably a what's that word I use, the bias, you know, because you know who he is, you know the name.
It's absolutely name recognition.
You know the name, recognition. And so familiarity bias, that's what that is.
Yeah, that's normally what we call it. This one's just strictly name.
Yeah.
This is name recognition. It's not to say, like Trev said, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. isn't his own player or can't be a good NFL player. We saw Joey Porter Jr. do well in Pittsburgh last year. So, I mean, this isn't Jerry Rice Jr. who is only going to make a team because of the name and not anything. I don't know that this is a player Washington is looking at personally, and I don't know that how high they value a linebacker this draft. They invited a lot of linebackers in their top 30 visits, and this isn't one of them. And I think that that tells me Jeremiah Trotter Jr. is probably not going to come here. And as far as whether he'll be good NFL talent, well, time will tell. Moving along, Will Diggs here. What do you guys think of trading up to take the best edge rusher? We've talked about trading up to take the best offensive tackle, Right, edge rusher is important. And we've looked at some of them. We talked about one with Chris Braswell yesterday's video. Not completely sold on him, but there are some talents in that first round. Would you be okay getting one of those talents? Trev's absolutely not.
Nah, man. I want to trade up to get the – no. No.
I'm with you, Trev.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Mm-mm.
I'm not trading up to get the best edge rusher. I get it, but I'm trading up to get a tackle.
Yes.
That's what I'm trading up to get.
That's the only reason.
We don't necessarily have game-changing edge rushers like you could get if you traded into the first round, but we have a bunch of them who can play already. How many? Mm-hmm. We went from having basically no edge rushers to now all of a sudden we got like a gazillion of them. How many do we have? We have Obada, right? We have KJ Henry and Andre Jones. We have the guy from Dallas. I've already forgotten his name. Dante Fowler, right? We've got the other edge rusher that we got from Dallas. I mean, they've signed a whole bunch of edge rushers. So at this point, no. You have much more important need there at offensive tackle.
Bingo.
Yeah. I'm not enthused with most of the edge rushers, and I would stay probably far away, right? If there was a Micah Parsons in this year's draft,
right,
then sure, I can see that being an option.
Or a Chase Young.
Okay, maybe not. But if Clelin Farrell. I mean, there's Latu from from UCLA. Yeah. I mean, they're okay, but I mean, there's Micah Parsons as a difference maker, and I don't necessarily see that. And I don't necessarily agree with Gregory. I don't think there's really some great rushers in the second either. I think, and this is a question I'm going to pitch to you guys. I pitched this to our friends over in the Bunker, another Commanders podcast. You can go check them out on Apple Podcast. What is higher on the draft board for you? Wide receiver or edge rusher?
Wide receiver.
Oh, man. For me, which is higher on the draft board? Yeah, wide receiver. I think so. Just because of their free agent signings. They did.
I was going to say, we got a lot of depth at the edge rushing right now. We ain't got nobody at the WR position.
Yeah. Who's wide receiver three right now? Crowder? Diami?
Between them. And this is everyone's chiming in with the wide receiver. And not only did I and you guys know me, I think edge rusher is the second most important, or pass rusher specifically, is the second most important position on the football field. So I wanted to get an elite guy. But as I looked through kind of the free agent signings, and as I looked through the players who are available, I started not falling in love with them. And I don't want to spend a pick on them. And I think that wide receiver, even though this is a deep wide receiver draft, I feel like getting the wide receiver you want is much more important. There and Locked On Law. I mean, I hate to necessarily agree with the sentiment, I hate to agree with Locked On Law, but Jahan is a question as wide receiver two. We saw flashes his rookie year. He had a sophomore slump. Can he bounce back? Right. That's a legitimate question.
Yes. I have a lot of confidence in
him. I have a great deal of confidence in him.
Yeah.
I do too.
So to also to piggyback on something that I brought up earlier about the Florio hot take, which is getting hotter right now. Commander's Twitter is kind of going crazy because also he's saying Florio is also saying, why would you dilute your ability to get maximum time by bringing four guys in at once? Mm-hmm. You're trying to evaluate four guys at once. Drake May's agent. Wait, is it Drake May's agent? Yeah, Drake May's. No. Jaden Daniels' agent.
I think it's Jaden Daniels.
Retweeted it with an emoji of like,
There is
a little bit of smoke that Jaden Daniels is not necessarily enamored with going to Washington. There is a little bit of that smoke.
I think I honestly feel like this, from what I understand from Jaden Daniels' personality, is that he is a little bit more, I think he even self-proclaimed himself as an introvert. And so I don't feel like the group setting was a setting he can excel in. And so if his agent is kind of doing that thing, I think it's because, and this tells me, Jaden Daniels is not a lock at two. I don't care about the Florio business for the comments.
Well, I know,
but no, I'm saying, and it's particularly about the Jaden Daniels agent tweeting that out.
Yeah.
I don't know about the heat behind him and Adam Peters and all this other malarkey. It's the fact that Jaden Daniels, his agent, would be willing to do that. Fully knowing these guys, I work in the PR field too. Okay. They know what he knows. That agent, I'm not, sorry to assume that it was a he, that agent knows what they did. Okay. They know the firestorm that's going to come from creating that thinking face emoji. That is interesting. Deluxe, why would Jaden not want to come to Washington? Is New England better positioned? I mean, Jaden was on his IG a couple weeks ago, and you can tell the kid would love to go to Las Vegas. Not that that's a real possibility, but that's just kind of, you know, I know people make fun of his age, but he's still young. Okay. So maybe just coming to DC just doesn't excite him. And he just wants to come into the NFL and play football. That's really what
he'll be here. He'll be here.
Well, I think unless there's a question that comes in here last minute, I think we've run out of time. So there will be no mock draft this week. So we do appreciate everybody jumping in the chat and giving us some great questions. That Florio news was outstanding. Mainly, I love the agent talk. We'll have to see how everything pans out. We'll be live next week, as we are live every Wednesday here on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. You can catch our recorded content both on YouTube and wherever you listen to your audio podcast. Make sure you leave us a rating and review wherever you are, as that helps other people find our channel. If you're watching this, if you're one of the more than 300 people watching this, make sure you hit that like button. So that way Stoner is a happy man. He has to also pay for all the things he broke after watching our Washington Capitals clinch a playoff, not just clinch a playoff, but also knock out both the Flyers and the Penguins. So good.
And the Red Wings, which my family is all about the Red Wings. So that was good too.
This off topic, but I got a shout out to a specific guy out there, a specific fan. His name is Caleb. Crazy story real quick. Went to a daughter's soccer game yesterday. He was in charge of admissions. Didn't know they were charging admissions. It was a home game. Walked up to him and asked if I could double up because we have another game on Friday for missing a payment. Caleb says, "It's okay, man. It's all good. I know you from your show." I'm like, "Rep the district?" He's like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "What's your name?" He said, "Caleb." And I'm like, "Caleb Workman?" He said, "Yeah." So I dapped him up and he let us in for free. But nice. Shout out to Caleb Workman. Appreciate you watching the show. It was a really good feeling coming from a small town, knowing that somebody actually watches this show and listens to us three Yahoos give incredibly hot takes, hot fire takes. So that was pretty cool. So shout out Caleb one time for being a fan.
Shout out Caleb two times.
Two times.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Yeah,
that is awesome. So it's no longer Casey Two Sacks. It's Caleb Two Shouts here on Ref the District. I'm Nathan Perry. That's Trev. That's the Stoner. We're brought to you by Bet Online and Don't Sleep Energy. We'll be back on Monday and we'll be live for the draft. Sean Taylor jersey. You're not going to want to miss out. But until next time.
Trev, be careful out there in them mean streets with your elbow, son.
You should see the other guy.
Be a fan.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.